You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
Rewards diligence, or God rewards doggedness. And so that's how he gave me the year of rewards. Because if we're going to be a dogged church, if we're going to be a diligent church, we have to consider in being a dogged church, in being a diligent church, what that means in reference to God. We found that out in the scripture that I just read. That if I'm a dogged person, if I am a diligent person, Hebrews 11 and 6, the latter clause reveals that God rewards those who are what? Diligent. He rewards diligence. God rewards doggedness. And so based upon all that I have said, my subject this morning is simply God rewards doggedness. God rewards doggedness. He wants us to understand this morning that he rewards doggedness. And so let's give God a praise for the text as well as the subject. He rewards doggedness. This is a good word this morning. Y'all pray with me. Again, not battling anything, nothing whatsoever. Just happened as soon as I got here and started talking. My armor bearers are a witness. My wife is a witness. Folks who talked to me all morning is a witness. He passed it good. The enemy tried to get in your head. Oh, Lord, Pastor, and I ain't nothing wrong, Pastor. Ain't nothing wrong, Pastor. Amen. To be dogged, I told you this right here. And it bears repeating. One definition of dogged is to be determined. It's determined to continue without giving up in spite of difficulties. To be dogged is to be determined to continue in spite of difficulties. God saying to us this year that we are to be dogged, and when we're being dogged, it is the year of rewards, does not mean, does not suggest that we're not going to go through some things this year. It does not mean that God is going to, yes, load us down with rewards, but that in this year, he is going to remove all trials and all trouble. God is never going to remove all trials and all trouble until we get to a place where we are forever with him. That place has been described as the place of no mores. No more tears. No more pain. Come on, somebody. No more getting up, clocking in, and clocking out. Preach, Pastor. But we will forever be with the Lord. You're talking about heaven. Earth is not heaven. But it is the year of rewards. But God will not remove trials, difficulty, challenges, and trouble. Why will he not do it, Pastor? Because in the earth and in the Bible, when you read it, most of God's greatest blessings that he ever bestowed upon his people came during trials, troubles, and difficulties. Come on, I should have got more claps. Should have got more amen. Anytime God truly blessed anybody, if you search it out, if you look at it, most of the time they was always going through something when God showed up and moved for them. Yeah, Well, Daniel was promoted, but before he got the promotion, you got to remember that he visited a lion's den. And when God showed up in the den of lion, shut the lion's mouth that they refused to eat Daniel, the king had no other alternative but to bring Daniel up out of the den of lions. Come on, Pastor, teach to him, and acknowledge that Daniel's God is the true God. And not only do we need to promote Daniel, not only do Daniel need a reward, oh yeah, he needs a reward. But not only do Daniel need a reward, his enemies need to be dealt with. Those who set him up need to face the same consequences. But guess what? When they get to face the lion, Yahweh is not with them. Jehovah is not protecting them. Therefore, they were eaten by the same lions that refused to eat Daniel. Brother Jalen, you know one reason I believe God did it that way? This is just me. So that as years pass, when people talk about how the lions refused to eat Daniel, nobody would get to say something was wrong with the lions. It wasn't his God. The lions had no teeth. The lions were at their point of death. God said the devil is a liar. They threw those men into the den of lions. God said, I'm going to prove that nothing was wrong with these lions. They were so fierce that the Bible said that they devoured the men before they hit the bottom. They tore them up. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you already. I'm preaching to you already. Through your difficulties are going to come rewards. Through your challenges, God are going to bring a reward. Through your fiery furnace, he's going to bless you. The fire will be there, but it will not burn you. It will not kill you. Come on. You will not even smell like the smoke that comes from the fire. Somebody ought to give him a praise right now who's in the fire. But God just told you, your reward is a guarantee. Your reward is a guarantee. Look up. Look up. Get ready for the reward. Look up. Get ready. Go to the mailbox with excitement. Check your email with expectation. Don't do nothing the way you used to do it. Do it all in an expectation. Do it all in faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Come on, church. Do I have a church on fire? Do I have a church being loaded down with reward? Am I preaching to a group of dogged folk? Are y'all on fire? Are you excited? Are you dogged? Do I have any dogged women? Do I have some dogged men? Somebody may say, Pastor, what's wrong with you? Nothing is wrong with me, but one thing been going on with me. I've been fasting all week. I've been in the prayer closet all week. I've been talking to God all week. Determined. See, some of my excited saints are saying one thing. Pastor, keep fasting. Fast more, Pastor. Pray more, Pastor. Determine to continue. Determine to continue. Determine to continue. Two things. Number one, if you're facing difficulties, trials and tribulation, yet determined to continue, you're dogged. You're dogged. You are relentless. You have learned to stick with it. You have learned to stick with it. Why she ain't quitting? Why she ain't backing up? She's learned to just stick. When you dog it, when you're relentless, when you learn to stick with it, then you also have a trait that's very unique and very important as a Christian, as a child of the Most High God. That is that you have become a person who has boldness. Proverbs 28 and 1 said that the righteous are bold as lions. Remember what Jesus said, men ought to always pray, Luke 18 and 1, and not lose heart. One meaning of lose heart is to lack courage. When a man starts lacking courage, when a man starts losing heart, it says about that man, it says about that woman that they lack boldness or doggedness to stay in the fight. Remember how I showed you Wednesday how that woman stayed in the fight even when it looked like her adversary was winning. Don't you know it takes boldness to stay in a fight when it looks like, when it sounds like, when it feels like you're losing? Come on, I'm finna talk to you. I'm finna talk to you, Faith Walker. It takes even more boldness to be hearing things, seeing things, and feeling things. Yet out of your boldness, you talk a talk that folk don't understand. You don't sound like a loser. Things you're saying is not based upon things you are seeing or experiencing. Come on, woman, with the issue of blood. Come on in refuge and Nuna. If I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Yeah, but you broke, and no doctors have been able to help you. Why are you so bold? Why are you so confident? Why are you so relentless? Why are you so dogged? And she was here today. She would tell all of us, even Jesus himself would tell us, because he said it on that day. It was a faith thing. Come on, somebody. It was a faith thing. The antonym, or three antonyms of dogged. Y'all hear? So we determined to be a dogged church. God rewards doggedness. See, I don't want to get nobody this. You get the battling, and only thing in them is, I'm going to be rewarded because pastor said it. See, that ain't it. You ain't getting it. Your trial going to defeat you because your pastor ain't God. He ain't God. If the only reason you believe it because, well, my pastor said it, you're not going to get it. You're going to faint. You're going to be what I'm about to talk about now, the antonyms of dogged, because this is bigger than pastor. I just didn't come out here like so many preachers do, false preachers, and say you are rewards, but there was no Bible. How far that's going to go when trials beating at your door? You saying something, but it ain't Bible. I feel for folk who go to churches and they preach it, don't preach out the Bible. That means if he ain't Superman, you in trouble. And us adults, we know Superman does not exist. Come on. You know you can't shine the bat in the sky and Batman gonna show up. Come on. You know all that is fictitious. That pastor preaching right. Y'all don't remember when you watch these things, they will, especially as in, with an immature mind, they get all in your emotions. I never forget the first time I watched Superman. Now I'm getting off. First time I watched Superman and all of that stuff had happened that really shouldn't have happened if he was as powerful as he was. And then you thought the movie was just done. Superman is done. There's not going to be any more Superman 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. So it's done. But then all of a sudden they revealed that Superman could fly around the earth so fast that he reverses everything that took place a whole hour that we've been watching the movie. None of this happened because he has the ability to fly around the world and turn back time. Oh, Superman. What was the name of that woman? Lois. And many of you single women became Lois Lane. Oh, Superman is going to come. He's going to sweep me off of my feet with the proposal of my life and fly me through the sky. The older you got mad at Superman. Got mad at who created Superman. Because you realize Superman, Batman, and all of them are lies. Come on. The antonym of dogged. See, you're going to have to check yourself right here. Because I know in the year of being dogged, I know one thing that I've already determined and settled. You're going to have a dogged pastor. You're going to have a dogged pastor. See, a while ago something was going on. We know you, y'all didn't know. You don't know. You didn't know what was going on. And I didn't know what was going on. But look how, look now. Voice back to full strength. What the pastor kept doing. I stuck with it. I didn't end the sermon early, but I hung in there. Even if some of you wanted me to end it early. You know I would not do it. Because you know you have a dogged pastor. A little snow on the ground. See, some of you have been in refuge long enough. I appreciate it this year. I appreciate it this year. Not like the first year I pastored. And the first storm that came. All the phone calls Donna got. All of the email. All of the texts. Yeah. Are we having church? First Baptist, Third Baptist, and Fourth Baptist have already closed. Are we having church? We had to keep sitting out. Yeah, we're going to have church. Yeah, we're going to try to come. Yeah, we're going to try to come. After about 14 years, people recognize, hey, really don't matter what's going on out there. Pastor's going to find a way to get out now. If you're in an armored truck with chains on the tire, and you see it coming down West Washington, somebody can look at that. Going to pass car. He's going to be there. There you go. There you go. Yo, he came down Thursday night, spent the night, been down here for the last 3 days. Don't come from downstairs. Come right up. How did he get there? Been there the last 2 days. I'm dogged. I've always been. I'm dogged. Back when COVID went down and they were talking about what all they may or may not do, I went to Don. I said, you do understand that if this thing hit hard enough, I may have to go to the church Monday and stay all week. If they don't want you to move, then the place I need to be is at the church. Come on. Doggedness. Doggedness. See, now many of you have matured. You already know. Now, again, if it's just catastrophic out there, I may tell y'all, you know, live screaming. Don't. Even for some of our people, they know your driveway all day. Hey, live screaming. You live screaming now. God bless you. But you have to understand. We got to be dogged. The antonym, I'm moving to it. The antonym of dogged. The antonym of dogged. The antonym of dogged. See, because the one thing I'm always afraid that I'll do, and it's just me, this just me, this just me, is that I'll shut the church down today, this morning. Shut it down at 10 a.m. And then 11 a.m., y'all out there at the theater. And then I hear about it. We seen a bunch of your members out at the theater. They was at the park. They were just eating, going in. I was like, You feel me, don't you, Diggy John? That what it ain't going to say at home. Y'all have did it some Sundays. I'm like, well, you know, this, that, and other going on. We kind of got out a little early. And as soon as I come around the curve, everybody's still out there talking. Everybody, ain't nobody went home. See, y'all just don't know how pastor mind work. I'm like, I should have went a little longer. Some of you saying now, I'm sure getting in my car, leaving soon as church over. You don't even know what I be doing when I be riding by speaking to you. Hey, brother, hey, sister. Antonyms of dogged, third time. We cannot be quitters. We cannot be cowards. There's certain difficulties you're going to face if you ain't dogged. In the midst of going through that, you will be a coward. You will be a fearful person to face your challenge head on and believe in your God. But rather, you will be a coward backing off of what you say you believe. finally, we will be a word that we used to use that's not as familiar to children and young people, is that you will be a pushover. Every time trouble shows up, you cannot be dogged because you are a pushover, or you are somebody's or something's doormat. And trouble not only comes, but it just walks over you. Trouble just pushes over you like you're nothing or nobody. In a year of being dogged, we cannot be pushovers. Because many enemies have already lined up. Some you can see and some are invisible, who showed up to oppose us getting our rewards. When you hear the year of reward, everybody is not clapping for you. Everybody does not want you to get what God wants you to have. That means all of us have enemies, including friends who smile in your face, but behind your back, they are your enemy. Every enemy don't show up with a gun. Every enemy don't show up with a knife. Some enemies show up with a smile to deceive you, get close to you, and talk you out of your blessing, pull you out of the church that God sent you to. That means Jesus said your enemies, your foes are of your own household. That means your spouse sometimes can act like your enemy. And if you don't know how to distance yourself sometime from your own spouse, go in another room. Get away from them. Go pray somewhere. Don't listen to them poor mouthing. Don't listen to them speaking all that death. If you don't, your own spouse will rob or take the word out of your heart. Preach it that God gave you for your house. Some of you brothers ain't gonna like it, but sometimes women, that's when you gotta be a dogged woman. That even on the day that man ain't acting right, you gonna pray for yourself, you gonna pray for him, you gonna anoint your front door, your back door. Come on, somebody. He don't even know it, but when he's sound asleep, you gonna anoint his end. I got some old moody men ain't moving right now, ain't saying nothing. I better not wake up and she done put in there. You ain't gonna know it. Go back to sleep. Now don't drown him, sister. He'll wake up. Don't just pour it on him now. You gotta just barely. Then he wake up in the morning. I don't know if I told you, girl, but I appreciate you. You know I love you. Everything go right. I know you've been wanting that pocketbook. We try to go get it Friday if you want it. What gonna happen that second night? You just sitting there waiting for him to go to sleep. You already got your all right there again. Some of y'all brother telling on yourself, looking that mean. Now I'm finna give you some examples of people who knew their labor was not in vain. Refused to be quitters, cowards, and pushovers. I want you to see the rewards, the blessings, the benefits that God released on him when he saw their doggedness. Remember when I said in one of my previous messages, according to Malachi 3:6, he says, through the prophet, for I am the Lord, I do not change. When it comes to Yahweh, when it comes to Jehovah, when it comes to the Most High God, when it comes to Jesus, According to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. The scripture reference, Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If God does not change, as he has revealed himself, that he do not, I believe him, the Bible says it, then I should be able to see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where he rewarded doggedness. I've already mentioned the woman with the issue of blood. Luke 18:1, the widow woman who went to the judge. Blind Bartimaeus. We have a number of examples in the New Testament where you know people were dogged and got a reward, got a blessing. Blind Bartimaeus got his sight because when they kept telling him by the wayside of the road to shut up and quit crying this loud about this Jesus, the Bible says he cried the more. He was what? Relentless. Bartimaeus was no pushover. Now you talking a blind man will stand in a crowd that he couldn't even see who may slap him, who may hit him. The only thing blind Bartimaeus know, I'm blind and there's somebody coming that can cause me to see. I don't care what y'all think. I got to be dogged because you can't give me my sight, but he can. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David. He probably know which direction he would come. Jesus, thou son of David. Be quiet. Hold your peace. Shut up. No, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David. See, when people talk about what you do and when people try to tell you it don't take all that, they can't give you your reward. Don't listen to them. Your blessing ain't coming from them. You don't pay my bills. Matter of fact, you don't even help me with my bills. You don't even ask me about my bills. But he helps me do all I do. Oh, Pastor preaching good this morning. He helped me do all I do. Because of him, I have all that I have. I don't care if you think it don't take all that. I don't care if you don't like speaking in tongues. I don't care if you don't like shouting. I don't care if you don't turn in victory. I found out what excites God. I found out what pleases God. He inhabits the praises of his people. Therefore, I gotta praise him. I know you don't clap, but I still clap. I'm on fire this morning. I'm on fire. Somebody should have said, burn, Pastor. Burn, Pastor. For you are the light of the world. Spring, you need to be on fire. Be seated. You know, sometimes people follow a fire truck. Y'all didn't get it. You didn't get it. Sometimes people, they'll follow a fire truck. They want to know what's on fire. They want to know what's burning. Where the fire truck going? That's when I stay on fire. Who want to follow me? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Whoa, I don't know no other way to be. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Now, if you turn to Genesis 32, if it be true, just tell your neighbor, just tell somebody, I ain't going to be no pushover. No, we didn't even get that right. Look at another neighbor, just tell him or her, I ain't going to be no pushover. No more. I ain't laying down no more. I ain't pouting no more. I ain't throwing no more pity parties. I ain't feeling sorry for myself no more. See, those are all the things that a pushover do. If the devil know, if demons know about you, that they don't need to show up at your house at all because you're going to beat yourself up enough. You're going to put yourself down enough. See, you become a pushover by how you low-rate yourself. God says he's going to bless you. God says he's going to reward you. And then your only thing to God is not a so be it, but try to explain to him why he can't bless you. Why things, well, you know, it don't ever go right with me. See, you're a pushover. You ain't the only one got no negative news this week. You ain't the only one went to a car lot, filled out all of the paperwork. And they just didn't tell you. You can't get the car that you came to get. see if some of you done been like me. Well, me and Donna back in the day, we were just like, okay, we'll take that. What? That? We can't even get y'all that. Doggone it. Well, can you get us in this? We can't even get y'all in that. Matter of fact, we finna close. It ain't nothing we can do for y'all. That's what happened to us one time. Kids was in this Tahoe back in the day. They probably don't even remember. Broke my heart. They was in there just playing. We pulled up in a little small car. You remember that, Shemika? We pulled up in a little small car. They done jumped in the back of this Tahoe. And we're back there, Sister Pam, choosing seats. This my seat, this my seat. Arguing over who seat, because the thing had captain seats in it. So we ain't never even know what an SUV was. When the man came to me, he said, trust me, it ain't nothing we can do for y'all out here. Nothing. It became a mama thing then, sister. I said, Donna. I said, go get them kids out there. Go. I didn't even have the heart to go. Y'all got to get out of the door. Was that the time or another time? Then I told Donna, one time they did this like that. I told Donna this right here. I said, hey, don't worry. I was talking big. I said, they just missed their blessing. I said, well, God already going to do this thing. I said, let's go, because I could tell her face dropped. I said, don't worry about that. I said, they missed their blessing. God going to do it. We got in the car. This was at a call out where the people didn't even come out to see us. They didn't even come out. It was a separate time. This time, they didn't even come out to even ask us what we wanted. They looked at us and said, these people can't. And so I got in my faith mode. Talking faith. I said, don't worry about it. They missed their blood. They won't come out here. We'll go somewhere and get a car. Finally, they came out there. Not to see what car we wanted, but to tell us we closing in 10 minutes. Y'all need to get this car off our lot. I had to call her uncle to help me push. Imagine they wouldn't even come see about you. And you out there now pushing a car that won't start off of these parking lot, off of these four parking lot. That was me and Donna that day. That's the reason today. I don't care what you think about what I drive. I don't care about your opinion of what I drive. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it took to get to where I am. So if you want to judge me by what you see now, see you by. But I ain't giving back nothing God gave me. Genesis 32. Oh, he just about money. Cause I drive a nice car. You don't even know my story. God determined that day, if this boy be dogged, I'll give him whatever he wants to drive. And one day I was so dogged that God told me, he said, you'll always have a nice car. And now I have 4-5 nice cars that I can get in today and have confidence I drive from here clear to California. Genesis 32. But see, why God telling me to share that with you? So if that happens to you or something similar, you won't drop your head. You won't think it's the end of your story. No, baby, it's just the beginning, because God said it's a year of rewards. And if you think it's a pastor thing that you need to drive through the parking lot, you need to see how God has not only blessed pastor, but he blessed the saints. You don't need to just Google my address and look at where I live. You need to know where some of these saints live and how God has blessed them. You ride down by Griffin and see that mansion that he gave the Harden there before you go to talking about it's a pastor thing. He ain't the only one blessed at this church. the nerve of him to drive something with red interior. He don't need all that. He don't. I ain't the only one driving something with red interior. Genesis 32. I got it. I'm going to go over there to Deacon Hill now. See how Deacon Hill living over there. Won't be long. Deacon Hill going to have his swimming pool back there on y'all. He working on it. He knows it's the year reward. He already done took the plumb line. He done measured it out. He about know where it need to go. He done seen how. Am I right about it? Look at Mateo back there cutting up. He glad about his daddy. Mateo ain't got happy over there. Only thing Mateo saying, keep believing, daddy. Keep believing. Be dogged, daddy. But you're right to do it. You're right to do it. All children in here should desire your parents to be dogged, because their doggedness affects you. Them being a quitter affects you. Them being a pushover affects you. I mean, I didn't get to my scripture. That's the reason some children are quitters, because their parents are quitters. You talk like a quitter, so your child talks like a quitter. You a pushover, so your son a pushover on his junior high basketball team. All you do, daddy, is complain, so all he do is complain. He don't want to practice. He don't want to spend no late hours in the gym. And he think everything should be given to him. They won't start me, daddy. But instead of you telling him you don't work hard enough, I told you we got to work at it. Get off the video game and learn to do it in real time. You dunking on video games and can't shoot a free throw in real time. See, but if daddy ain't nothing but a complainer, first thing daddy gonna tell him is that they won't play you cause you're black. Tell him the truth, daddy. They won't play him cause he's sorry. They won't play him cause he lazy. They won't play him cause he don't come to practice. I'm preaching hard up in here. But because you're a pushover, mama, you always had trouble with me and you always down me. You're a pushover when it come to me. Now your daughter is the same way. You don't want to sit up under no sorry pastor. You don't want to sit up under no lazy pastor. You don't want to sit up under no pastor preaching something he don't live. Preaches about the blessings of God, but he don't have any. You ought to want me to be a product of what I preach, of what I teach. That means what I serve you, what I feed you. I eat it myself. I grow from it myself first. I get rebuked first. What's wrong with some of you? Every time I come out here with a hard word, you a pushover. Well, pastor talking about me today because he looked right at me. Pastor talking about himself. I ain't no perfect man. I was preaching on myself. Be seated, because I ain't going to get to go to these scriptures. But in Genesis 32, I even told y'all to go there, right? For the sake of time, I'm going to tell you about them. In Genesis 32, there was a man by the name of Jacob. The name Jacob means trickster, con artist. Jacob at some point got tired of his life, his mess up, his hang ups. Jacob, always being known as a trickster. But you got to study the scripture, because a lot that fell upon Jacob fell upon him because of his mama. His mama was a trickster. Come on, teaching good. His mama taught him how to trick. His mama taught him how to con. His own mama taught him how to con his own daddy. His mama did it. Y'all be careful, parents. You can teach your children to manipulate. They did it, mama. Don't do that. Don't be no low down mama. You turning your children against their own daddy because he won't do what you want him to do. You manipulative thing. You don't do that. See, it came back on him because Jacob started living this life. You have to be careful how you raise children. Certain conversations parents have shouldn't be had amongst their children. You shouldn't pull your children in your argument. Oh, I'm teaching too good. Something going on with, I'm teaching too good. You ought to be the auger outside of the presence of your church. Don't call your church and tell your dad, you know he wrong, cause he did. That ain't that child responsibility. That children shouldn't lay up at night wondering whether or not y'all gonna get a divorce, cause they hear all that cussing and fussing and even fighting among saints. Shouldn't be. And so Jacob wasn't nothing but a trickster, but he got tired. And one day the Bible said there met him a man who came down to Jacob. And the Bible said that Jacob wrestled with the man. One prophet almost reveals or seemingly reveals that the man was in fact an angel. And Jacob wrestled with the man, the Bible said. He wrestled with him all night. And the man told him, said, let me go for the day breaks. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless my soul. Oh, come on, I'm talking about doggedness. He ain't no pushover. And he said, let me go. The day is breaking. He said, I won't let you go unless you bless my soul. And the Bible said the man hit Jacob in his thigh, in the hollow of his thigh, hit him and knocked his hip out of place. You would think now Jacob would become a pushover. See, sometimes the enemy gonna hit you. Sometimes God gonna allow something to hit you. Sometimes the enemy gonna throw a punch and God ain't gonna allow you to duck. He gonna allow it to hit you square between your eyes just to see if you're a pushover or not. If you're a quitter or not. If you get hit hard or not. Will you quit? You talk a bunch of stuff, minister. You got a good prayer. But if you get hit hard enough, will you quit? You talk good, deacon. But if you get hit hard enough, will you quit, deacon? Will you go back to your baby ways if you get hit hard enough? That's what the angel wanted to know from Jacob when he hit him hard. But the Bible say even with a hip out of place, the Bible say Jacob kept wrestling with him. I'm hurting, but I won't let you go until you bless my soul. I'm in pain, but my blessing is greater than my pain. What I need is greater than what I'm going through. And so though I am hurting, I will not become a pushover. See, sometimes you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit even though you just fasted. Sometimes you're going to get hit even though you just got off the altar. Sometimes you're going to get hit even though you went out your way to love your spouse, to change yourself, to beautify yourself. And you're going to get hit in the sin that your husband act like he didn't notice it. He didn't compliment you. He treated you rough even though you went out your way to please him. All that means is that you just got hit. It doesn't really mean he don't love you. It means God is allowing you to get hit. God is allowing you to get hit. Who is God allowing to take a punch? It doesn't mean because you didn't get the promotion that you didn't deserve the job. God just allowed you to get hit. He just allowed the punch to land. And see, sometimes we don't like that about God. We want every punch thrown at us. We want God to either tell us to duck or we want God to supernaturally block it. But sometimes to see if you're a pushover or not, he said, I have to make sure that the lick sticks. And sometimes God will allow you to take lick after lick and won't seemingly let you throw a punch back, because he gonna let the enemy wear itself out. Come on. Come on, Ali. Come on, Ali. They called Ali the greatest. Ali did the rope-a-dope. When he stood back on a rope and let, who was it, George Foreman, throw everything he had at him. They said in the midst of round after round, George Foreman was big and strong, throwing everything he had, hitting Ali. And they said at one point, Big George said after the fight one time, he'd never forget, he hit Ali with everything that he had. He hit him so hard and he couldn't understand in his own mind why this man would not go down. He said one time he threw his hardest punch he knew he'd ever threw in his career and it landed, and he said Ali was just ducking. He said Ali stuck his head between his glove and said, is that all you got, Big George? God, can you take a lick? Is that all? You know you're dealing with a dogged woman. You know you're dealing with a dogged man.
You know, I'm a doggy deacon. I got a soul. I got to give. I'm a doggy. That man, when he got ready to go, when he saw Jacob with doggy, he said this right here. He said, what is your name? He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, you shall no longer be called Jacob. See, he changed his name. He gave him a reward. You will no longer be known as a trickster, but your name will be, you will be called Israel. Israel, because you are a prince with God. You are God's fighter. See, when you're dogged, God even has the ability to change your name. To change what you are known for. Numbers 13. When Israel went to spy out the land, he sent 12 leaders. 10 came back with a negative report. Said the land is good. It's flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. We are not able to go up and take it because of the giant. Joshua and Caleb, two that believed, two that were dogged. In particular, Caleb is who I want to talk about. Caleb said at once, let us go up at once, for we are well able to take the land. The meaning of Caleb is dogged. His name means dogged. Dogged. Caleb, dogged. Why? Why dogged? Because God saw in him that day. Listen to me. He saw the same giants that the other 10 saw. See, when you're dogged and when you're a pushover, when you're a quitter, you're in the same church. See, they belonged to the same tribe. They was Israel. But they were all not the same. That's reading in the same church. In a year of being dogged, in the year of reward, we are all not the same. Though we need to be. See, we need to be. See, he didn't see no different giants. It wasn't like Caleb and Joshua saw midgets. And the other 10 saw giants. So yeah, they believe only because they seen midget, but we saw the giant. No, they saw the giants too. The only difference was, Mother Cocker, is that they were dogged. I just dropped something on you. Even there are coming some times this year to where whether we're dogged or whether we're quitters or pushover, that's what's going to determine how we deal with what we do see. See, because he was dogged, his doggedness said to him, with God being with us, they're giants. And it ain't finna drop nothing, ain't finna drop nothing profile. They're still not as big as God. They're not as big as the God we serve. See, I don't care what problem you got this morning. It's not bigger than the God you serve. That's the reason you should be dogged. And in Deuteronomy 28, I'm showing you that God is the same. He rewards doggedness. I gave you Jacob. I gave you Caleb. Deuteronomy 28 lists a number of blessings that you are responsible for reading before we get back here next Sunday if the Lord should tarry. We're going to have Bible study, but I may not deal with it. You're responsible to read Deuteronomy 28, I believe it's 1 through verse 13. He said, if you be diligent and obey my voice, all these blessings will come upon you. See, what is my subject? God rewards doggedness or diligence. Look at Deuteronomy 28 for yourself and notice the list of blessings. Maybe I get to deal with a win tonight, the Lord tell you. That the Lord said, I will reward you with all these things if you are diligent, if you are dogged. That's how, again, when I say God does not change, that's how I know it's the year of rewards. Because he told us to be dogged, to be diligent, to be steadfast, to be immovable. And then the Hebrew writer told us he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who are dogged. God has always rewarded diligence. So if somebody asks you about the year of rewards, it's nothing new. He's always rewarded doggedness. He's always rewarded or blessed diligence.